Good morning. Before I begin, from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank this congregation for supporting my family as I go to Brown Trail School of Preaching. My wife was a high school teacher for 7 years in Killeen, Texas. Now she gets to stay home and teach our two children not only the gospel of the Bible, but also to teach them at home. And if it wasn't for this congregation, we weren't going to be able to do that. So I just want to thank y'all and thank the elders. And I'm sorry y'all have to put up with Royce Williamson. I put up with him for 15 years. No, he is a wonderful man, but has a wonderful wife. And Tony. Why did Jesus come to this earth? To die on the cross. We have heard sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon about Jesus dying on the cross. I plead with you, please don't shut your ears. There was a story I heard of a young boy that was 12 years old that was hearing a gospel preacher preach on Jesus and dying on the cross. And it touched him. The little boy started to cry. The mother looked over to see him crying and she nudged him in the side and said, "Boy, quit crying. Quit taking it so seriously." Her response should have been, she would have, should have hugged that young boy and shed his tear or gone to the back until the boy was able to come back into the auditorium to worship. Brothers and sisters, this is a serious topic and something we need to come back over and over and over and over and over again. Because brothers and sisters, does this book ever change? It doesn't. So there might be here someone here today that has never heard about Jesus and what he did on the cross. But before I talk about the cross, why did he come to the cross? What happened? It begins at the beginning. You know, God instructed Adam and Eve, gave them one simple thing. Do not eat of the tree of life. I look in this audience and we have fathers and mothers out there that have children. And they have one simple thing. God told them, don't eat of the fruit of good and evil. Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 and 17. It wasn't hard to complex. It wasn't a hard thing to do. God gave them everything in the garden. But that one tree, don't do it. But who comes along on the scene? Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 and 6, Satan comes along in a serpent. And he asks that simple question. Not simple question, excuse me, that question. You shall not eat, and Eve told him not to eat of the tree. And he said, you shall not surely die. He added one small word, not. And she partook. And then Adam partook. You know, Satan still uses the same tactics today. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 17. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what he did to Eve. The same thing. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Then God, when God came around, saw that they were hidden in the garden, God then made a tunic of clothing in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, and clothed them and covered them. And that was the first recording, maybe, of the first animal sacrifice. Brothers and sisters, the book of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, and Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, that blood, the blood of bulls and goats will not take away your sins. God knew at that moment when Adam and Eve sinned that He had to have a plan to bring His children back to Him. God loves us. And as a father of 7 years now, almost 7 years, of a little girl, I can really tell He really loves us. And if you have children, you know that God loves you. Because He gave His best. He gave His Son to die on the cross for you and for me. And you know, as those in the Old Testament, they bring those sacrifices, the goats, the animals, and year by year by year, can you imagine all the blood and the sacrifice that that animal did not do anything to that person? But John chapter 1, verses 1, in the beginning was the Word, and then verse 14, John chapter 1, came flesh. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Matthew chapter 26, starting with verse 36. Matthew 26, 36. Before we talk about Jesus and what happened to Him on the cross and why He came, we have to see what happened to Him before. Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 36. He just finished the Lord's Supper. Instituting the Lord's Supper. Starting in verse 36. When Jesus came with them in a place called Gethsemane, the disciples sitting there, while I will go over and pray over there. And then He took Him, Peter, and the two sons of Zebedee, and they began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then He said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Stay here and watch with Me." And when a little further, He fell on His face and prayed and said, "O My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not My will be done, but Your will." In Mark chapter 14, verse 36, says, "Abba, Father." Can you picture, and I also failed to mention, I'm sorry, I guess because Fauci said about goggles. Sorry. We need to put our goggles on and go back to the scene of the Gethsemane. We need to look and see what happened to Jesus and how He prayed. And when He said, "Abba, Father," can you hear the tender love of Jesus talking to His Father? "Abba, Father." Then He says, "Not My will done, but Yours be done." Picking up in verse 40 again in Matthew. Then He came to His disciples and found them asleep. And He said to Peter, "What, can you not watch over Me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter in temptation. And the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again He said a second time, He went away and prayed and saying, "Oh My Father, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, I drink from it. Your will be done." And Luke chapter 22, verse 44 says that He became in agony and praying more earnestly, and the sweat became like great drops of blood falling on the ground. Brothers and sisters, can you picture Jesus falling on the ground, praying to His Father, knowing what was going to happen to Him, His physical body? And the sweat became blood. Great drops of blood falling from our Lord's face. And He hadn't even gone to the cross yet. But Luke chapter 22, verse 43 says, an angel came from heaven. And if you have a Bible, if you have a pen, underline this: strengthen Jesus. God knew what was going to happen to Jesus. God knew that all the stuff, the horrible stuff, but God did not leave Jesus all by himself. And there's a principle today for us. Yes, we're going through a trial time with this COVID. Yes, there's social distancing. But God will never leave us. As if we do His will and follow the Bible, God will never forsake us nor leave us. That's encouraging. We sing a song from time to time, this world's not my home, I'm just passing what? Through. Life is like a vapor, James tells us. A moment. Twinkle of an eye. Yes, I love this world, and I love the worshiping with my brothers and sisters. And this morning, the singing was beautiful. But can you imagine on that good, glorious day in judgment, when we all come together, and all we do is sing praises to God? That is going to be a wonderful, wonderful event. But God did not leave Jesus all by himself. God knew that, like I said, God knew all the trial and the scourging that was going to happen to Jesus. So Jesus prayed not once, not twice, but three times. Father, if it's thy possible, let this cup pass from me. Brothers and sisters, do we pray that much, that earnestly? I remember going to a church camp and praying, and they had us every night pray for a whole hour. All we did was pray. That was the quickest hour of my life. Why? Because I was talking to my Father. And there's no better way to go to sleep, to praying your Father and drifting off to sleep. Those are some of the best nights of sleep, when I talk to God. Our second point will be found in Matthew chapter 26, starting with verse 57. Jesus is arrested. They take him away to the trial and the scourging. And at this point, if you hear a tremble in my voice, because it's powerful. What Jesus did. Starting with verse 57, and those who led him, hold on Jesus, took him away to Capernaum, the high priest and the scribes and elders. Those scribes and elders should have known about Jesus. There is over 300 references in the Old Testament about Jesus. That's one of the reasons why I love studying the Old Testament, because I get to find Jesus. They should have known, but they didn't. They are power hungry. They wanted an earthly kingdom to set up in David's throne. Verse 58, then Peter followed him in a distance in the high priest and count courtyard. And when he had sat there and the servants and see the end, now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought the false testimony against Jesus and put him to death. Brothers and sisters, have you ever been falsely accused for something? I have. It did not feel good. But Jesus did nothing wrong. He lived a perfect life, a wonderful life, and a wonderful life that we need to follow. And they were saying false testimony against our Lord and Savior to put him to death. But they found none. And even many false witnesses came forward and found none. And at least two false witnesses came forward. And they said, follow, and able to destroy the temple of God and build it up in 3 days. Then the high priest arose and said to him, Do you not answer? What do these men testify against you? But Jesus kept silent. When I read that, when he kept silent, it reminds me of Isaiah 53. Jesus didn't say a word. When you were falsely accused by somebody, did you keep silent? Because I didn't. I wanted to make my voice heard. I did not say that. But Jesus kept silent. And then verse 64, Jesus said to them, it is as you say, nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter I will see the Son of Man and sitting on the right hand of power and come unto the clouds in heaven. Then the high priest tore their clothes and said, as he spoke blasphemy, what further need do we have of these witnesses? And they took, now having heard these blasphemies, what shall we think of them? And they answered and said, he should be delivered to death. Verse 67, we cannot read this and skip over it. Then they spat in his face. Have you ever been spat in the face? I have as well. It wasn't fun. I worked 15 years in the school district. And when that 14-year-old boy spit in my face, my knuckles were clenched. I wanted to grab him and say, what do you think? But I couldn't because I want to keep my job. But they spat in his face, our Lord and Savior's face. The Son of God's face, they spat in his face. And others struck him with their palms. They slapped him. Can you picture that? Jesus being spit upon and then spat upon, or slapped upon, excuse me, in the face. Saying, prophesied Christ, who struck us? They blindfolded him. The gospel account says. Then jumping over to Matthew chapter 27, starting with verse 11. Matthew chapter 27, verse 11, Jesus says, Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus said to him, as it said. And while they were being accused, the chief priests and elders answered nothing. And Pilate said to him, what do you do you not hear of many things that are testifying against you? And he answered him, not a word, so that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast of the governor, there was a custom of releasing the multitude one prisoner as they wished. And at the time they had a prisoner called Barabbas. We're going to pause here just for a minute in Barabbas. I want us to put our sandals in Barabbas' shoes for just a moment. Yes, he was an awful and horrible man. But just for a minute, I want you to be in the prison cell of Barabbas. Barabbas is in prison. He hears the crowd, crucify him, crucify him. Who do you think he's talking about? Me. They're going to crucify me. I'm the one that did it. So here comes the guards walking down, and they open up that prison cell, release his shackles, and he's walking, going, here I go, I'm going to be crucified. Walking, as you're walking down there, they hear that chant, crucify him again. And as you open up the courtyard, there was Jesus. There's Jesus. And then your shackles are taken off, and Barabbas leaves, and Jesus stays. Brothers and sisters, Barabbas was not the only one that walked free that day. I did, and you did. Jesus stayed, and Barabbas walked free, a murderer. Then, after the crowd said, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." After he was spit in the face, his beard plucked, struck in the face, then the governor took him over to the Romans. To scourge our Lord and Savior. Matthew chapter 27 and 31. Excuse me, 26. Then they released Barabbas to him and they scourged Jesus. When Matthew wrote the book, they knew what scourging was. Sometimes today when we hear the word scourging, we just read it over like it's nothing. But we need to pause at that word scourging. They took our Lord and Savior, took his clothes off, put him, some scholars say, and I need to do more study, but there's a debate, either he was up, had a chain up here up high or down below, bent over, and they had a whip. And that whip had little bones and little things, and they slashed the back of our Lord and Savior. The Jews stopped. They had to stop, but those Romans, they didn't have such a law. They did it until they said, "Okay, that's enough." There were so many people that have died before the cross being scourged. But can you imagine our Lord and Savior's body as they were scourging him? Whip after whip after whip after whip. Back was torn. Face was hit more likely. And you ask that question, why is he here? Why is he doing that? Why? Because God loves you and he loves me. We were created in God's own what? Image. Hell was never a place for humans. It was a place prepared for devil and his angels. God doesn't want us to go to hell. But whose choice is it? There are three choices. God says, "I want you to be a child, my child." Satan says, "I want you to be mine." But you cast the vote of where you're going to go. Either God, with God or with the devil. Verse 27, then the soldiers and the governors took Jesus into the praetorium, gathered the whole garrison around him, and they stripped his clothes and put a scarlet robe on him. Brothers and sisters, have you ever had a bad cut on your leg or your arm or somewhere where there was a lot of blood and they put a Band-Aid on it? When that Band-Aid clots to that Band-Aid, when it finally dries, does it feel good when that Band-Aid gets taken off the first time? No, it hurts. It hurts. Can you imagine after Jesus' back being beaten over and over and over and over and over, and they put clothes back on him? What's happening to Jesus' back? That blood is clotting to that clothes. Then verse 29, and they had twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. I've seen over and over and over where people just show you. You see movies or something where they just barely put that crown of thorn on his brow. That's not what happened. They beat it in his skull. Have you ever had a head wound? You run and bumped your head, and is there a little blood or is there a lot of blood? There's a lot of blood. So Jesus' back is bleeding. And then they put a crown of thorns on him. on his brow. Then they, verse 30 says, then they spat upon him again and took a reed and beat it on his head. And then they had mocked him and took the robe off. They put that robe and they took it off. Brothers and sisters, I don't think they barely took his robe off. I think they yanked it off there as quickly as they could. Because those Romans they were experts in torture. Going on to our last point, and that's the cross. Matthew chapter 27, verse 32 through 50. After Jesus is scourged, after Jesus is put on the crown of thorns, he has to carry his own cross. That old, rugged cross. Brothers and sisters, it wasn't a smooth piece of wood. I've seen so many people the cross was so beautiful. It was not. It was a torture device. That old rugged cross Jesus had to bear on his shoulders, and he was so tired and weak, he couldn't carry it anymore, and they chose a guy named Simon to carry that cross to get to the hill of Calvary. Verse 33, then they had come to a place called Golgotha, a place of skulls. They gave him some sour wine, demurled, to drink. And he tasted and would not drink. After they scourged him, after they poured the crown of thorns, they laid him on that old rugged cross, stretched his arms out, and what did they do with those nails? They drove them through his arms, hands. Into the spike, into the wood. Can you picture it? Do you know when I read the gospel account and what happened to our Lord and Savior, the one person that's getting a thrill out of this, the one person that said, yes, Satan, yes, look what happened to him. Good for him. But when we see that happening, why did Jesus come to this earth? Why did Jesus die on the cross? Then they crucified him and divided his garments in 35, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets. And they divided his garments among my clothes and cast the lots and kept watch over him. And they put him, then they put up on his head accusation written, Jesus, the King of the Jews. And the two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right, one on the left. And they passed, and people were passing by, blaspheming, wagging their heads. Jesus had suffered already, and people were still wagging their heads, mocking him. Our Lord and Savior could have said one word, destroy them, and God would have sent 10,000 angels to destroy this world. That song we sing, but brothers and sisters, it was a lot more than 10,000 angels. Verse 40, and they said, Who will destroy the temple and build it in 3 days and yourself? And you are the Son of God and come down from the cross, mocking him. And the chief priests also mocking him, and the scribes and elders saying, you save others and you cannot save yourself. And the king of Israel, let him now come down to the cross and we might believe. He trusted in God and he delivered him. Now he will have him. For they said, I am the Son of God. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him at the same thing. Verse 45, now the 6 hours. Brothers and sisters, when somebody's in a lethal injection in the state of Texas, when they are found guilty in the court of law of murdering somebody and they're put to death, and their sentence, their day is coming, like that, they're gone. Our Lord and Savior stayed on that wood, old rugged cross, not one, not two, not three, but 6 long hours. Crucified, arms stretched out. When his arms hurt, he sunk. Legs hurt, he had to rise up to get some air. Why is our Lord and Savior coming to this earth to do that? Because God loves you and me. How much does God love you? That much. God loves you and He loves me. Now the 6th hour in verse 45 until the 9th hour, and darkness was all over the land. And about the 9th hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, sabachthani," that says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" I've heard people say over and over, Jesus, why? He's asking, why you've forsaken me? Jesus said, God didn't care. Jesus is quoting Scripture right there. He is quoting Scripture right there. Psalm 22, verse 1. The 7 sayings of Jesus on the cross were Scripture. He was teaching. Even when He was dying on the cross, Jesus was teaching them. And there's an application for us today in that. Verse 47, and some of those who stood there with their head heard that this man was calling for Elijah. And immediately one ran over and took the sponge and filled it in sour wine. And they put it on the reed and offered him to drink. And they said, "Let him alone. Let's see if Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out with a loud spirit and yielded up his spirit. When you read that, Jesus cried out. It wasn't a small cry. It was a loud cry. Brothers and sisters, where is Jesus right now? He's at the right hand of God. Jesus, Luke, before he died, in Luke chapter 20, 23, verse 34 says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That reminds me of a story that I heard several years ago, and if you heard this story, I do apologize. First time I heard the story, I was not a father. Then I heard it again when I was a father. And when I heard that story after being a father, it hit me. The story happened back in the 50s and 60s in the great state of, almost the great state of Tennessee. Not as great as Texas, but pretty close. Two boys were in college, Christian college. They were in the dorm between classes. And it was at the time where they had the Coke bottles that were glass, those thick Coke bottles. And they were in the dorm, there was a straight hallway. And they wanted to see if they can throw that Coke bottle and see if they could hit the wall. So they were taking turns back and forth. Well, one gentleman got it, and he grabbed a good hold of it and put his arm back and threw that Coke bottle, and it was going straight as it can be down that hallway. Unknowing, a student was coming out of his dorm room, opened up his dorm room, and that Coke bottle hit him right here, and down he went. They rushed him to Vanderbilt Hospital. They checked him out. He got to go home that night. That evening, he had a hemorrhage. Bled out, couldn't get to the hospital. The young man died. The boy that was throwing the Coke bottle got in trouble from the university. Several weeks passed, and the mother and father of the boy that was killed, said, "We want to meet with that young boy. We want to meet with them." So the university got a room for them to meet. The young boy was walking to the office to meet with the parents of the son, the man that he accidentally killed. And the boy was playing in his mind what the father is going to say to him, because that boy was their only son. He played in his mind, what if I killed his only son? That father is going to probably say, thanks a lot, you killed my only son. No more birthday cards. Thanksgiving's gone. Christmas is gone. I'm not going to get to see him walk down the aisle of graduation. Thanks a lot. I'm not going to get to see him fall in love with a young woman and one day see his beautiful bride walk down the aisle and they get married. Also, thanks a lot. I'm not going to have grandchildren. Thanks a lot. But as he opened up that door and went into that office, the father was sitting on one side and the wife was sitting on the other. And trembling in the father's voice said, we forgive you. It was an accident. Yes, you killed our son. But we heard that you obeyed the gospel not too long ago. And you're no longer welcome at your own earthly home. He obeyed the word of God, and his parents said, since you put your Lord and Savior on baptism, you're not no longer welcome here anymore. So he was an orphan. The father, quivering in his voice, said, I want to adopt you. I want you to call me father if that's what you want. And they did. They adopted him. Years after, there was two portraits. There was one of the son that was killed and the one that murdered him accidentally. When I heard that story, what did we do to Christ? We didn't physically beat him. We didn't physically spit on him. We didn't physically do all those things that we read in the Bible. But we did do one thing. And it starts with an S and ends with an N. We sinned. That is the reason why Jesus came to this earth. Sin. When you hear that word sin, you can hear the serpent's voice. Sin. It is an awful, awful thing. And when I sin, I crucified my Lord and Savior. I killed him. In a sense. And what did God want from me? Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 and 7 says, I want to adopt you. I still want you. Can you imagine that love? I can't. God's thoughts are higher than men's thoughts. When Jesus died on that cruel cross of Calvary and they put him in that brand new tomb, and they rolled that stone up and had those guards guarding his tomb. For 3 days, he stayed in that tomb. But on the third day, what happened to our Lord and Savior? Up from the grave, he what? When you sing that song, brothers and sisters, low in the grave he lay. That chorus, brothers and sisters, the shackles of this roof or any church building should be rattling. Because it's true. He's not in that tomb anymore. I said just a minute ago, where is our Lord and Savior? He's at the right hand of who? God. And when you put your Lord and Savior on in baptism, The man that this physical body that was beat and was scourged, he becomes your elder brother. And on the day of judgment, God the Father is your heavenly Father. And Jesus is right there, your elder, your brother. And when you have a right relationship with God and a right relationship with Jesus, and you study your Bible and you love the Bible and you do everything that God wants us to do as best of our ability. Sometimes, yes, we are going to stumble. Yes, we're going to fall. But guess what? We have a wonderful thing called prayer. And that is one thing that Christians need to do more, that I need to do more, is on our knees praying, thanking God that He sent His Son. Thank God that Jesus shed His blood to purchase what? The church. Where we can worship God in spirit and in truth, to sing wonderful hymns and spiritual songs to our God, to petition Him into prayer, and partake of the Lord's Supper, not once a quarter, not once a month, but every Sunday. And to hear preaching, to hear God's Word proclaimed. Isn't the New Testament church and how we worship, it's very simple, but powerful at the same time. Behind this pulpit, I know that this congregation gets the truth preached over and over and over again by Brother Mike, by Brother Royce. And years past, I know that gospel preachers have come here to preach. And when a man comes by in the pulpit, he has to preach the Word of God. And when he doesn't, the elders come forward and say, stop. This book, the Bible, these 66 books, Old Testament, New Testament. I've heard over and over and over people in the religious world say that the members of the Church of Christ do not love the Old Testament. Brothers and sisters, we love the Old Testament. It's there for our what? Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Our learning. If we don't know the New Old Testament, is there any way we can know the New Testament? You have to just shut the book of Hebrews up, because Hebrews chapter 11, scratch your head and go, who are all these characters? The Bible. The stories of Jesus and why He came is right here. Nothing less. I don't need a lectureship book from a sound congregation to tell me where Jesus came. Right here. Yes, those lectureships are good to study, to get some points maybe. But brothers and sisters, those gospel preachers, are they just men? Yes. Jesus was the only one that was perfect. Jesus was the only one that came to this earth to live and lived a perfect life. We need to thank God for that. That wonderful example. You know, in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 30, Jesus says, come unto me, all that are heavy burdened, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and lean upon me. Are you burdened today? Do you not know our Lord and Savior? Do you not know about the Church of Christ? How Jesus purchased with His blood, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. How He promised He was going to build His church, Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 and 18. How there's only one body, one church, one. Do you if you've heard the gospel, Romans chapter 10, verse 17, and you believe that gospel with all your heart, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and you repent of your past sins, Luke chapter 13, verse 3, and Acts chapter 17, verse 30, and you confess that beautiful name of Jesus Christ, Romans chapter 10, verse 10, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Mark chapter 16, 16, and Acts chapter 22, verse 16, arise there, tearest thou, baptize, calling on the name of the Lord. And sometimes we forget this one after we baptized. Revelation 2:10, be faithful unto death. If you have not done those steps, those simple steps, the day of judgment, God is going to say, depart from me. But if you've done those steps, God's going to hear, you're going to hear those wonderful words, come, enter in thy good and faithful servant. If there's anything that we could do today to help you put your Lord and Savior on baptism, or just a simple prayer, we're not here to judge you when you walk down the aisle. Because guess what? It could be me next. I'm weak. I stumble. I fall. So if there's anything that we could do to assist you today, there's no better day than today. Why don't you come now as we stand and sing the song.